Hashtag hello and welcome. My name is the Alpha Female and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Whoa! G'day mateys, Bushwhacker Luke here, 2015 Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Yeah! Whoa!
This is pro wrestling's only modern-day Viking Gunner, and you're on Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Nick Magnus Toldis, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hi, this is Leva Blue Pants Bates, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, fellas, you guys have a great day, and this is only because I'm talking to Canadians. It is actually spitting snow in Tennessee.
See?
Oh, my God.
That's we're in a great... We've had 70-degree weather here. We really had a warm December, and I get on the phone with damn Canadians, and we're spitting snow. So.
It may have been spitting snow then, but it almost feels like it should be here now as well, where we are in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada. The wind has picked up, and it is absolutely insane how crazy it is, and got a little bit cold as well. My name is Carl Carafell. I'm joined alongside Chris Best and OMD for Turnbuckle Talk, episode number 366. This is the final stop for us, anyways, before WrestleMania. Guys, WrestleMania week is here. It came up upon us so damn quick. I'm flabbergasted at how quickly this came up for us, but we're here, guys. We're here.
We are. This is the longest 2 weeks of the wrestling calendar year for all of us. Just with so much going on in the wrestling world, not just WWE wise, but everywhere else. All thanks to the granddaddy of them all.
OMD, I like how you said this is the longest 2 weeks for you guys, and it's the longest 2 weeks, especially for me, considering what's going on this weekend here at Turnbuckle Studios. And I'm going to use this moment right now to plug that we are doing a PLE patrol for WrestleMania's night one and night two. People, once again, you've been asking me about stand and deliver. I cannot do that. That's just going to be a bit too much because we've got night one, night two, and the Raw after WrestleMania that we're all doing this weekend. So it's going to be an insane week for all of us here at Turnbuckle Studios.
Yeah, to try and do four shows in 3 days is a little bit much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't mind losing my voice, but I don't really want to lose it.
No, that's understandable. Totally, totally understandable. For those of you that are listening to us after the fact on any podcast platform that you have out there, we would like to remind you as well that we are available on Good Pods. And what's nice about Good Pods is that you can actually give us a rating and a ranking on Good Pods, which does push us up further and further. We have been pretty much within the top five since we started using Good Pods. And we would love if all of you could continue to do that and bring us all the way up to number one and keep us there. Take a look, download the Good Pods app, or you can go to goodpods.com/podcasts/turnbuckle-talk-264524. Before we get into WrestleMania, because yes, that is going to be the main attraction of the evening here for us, we got some rather interesting news over the last 2 days, yesterday and today, when it comes to the rival promotion, I guess we could call them, All Elite Wrestling. Chris, I know that you have got some information up right now about that. What has gone on? What has transpired? What went down with AEW?
So this all started late last night while we were on patrol for the Raw. AEW has cut 10 performers from its roster. These cuts were reported by Fightful and PW Insider. The following names were released from AEW: Anthony Henry, the Tate Twins, aka the Boys, Stu Grayson, Dasha Curat, Gravity, Parker Boudreaux, okay, Slim J, and Jose the Assistant, and Yora Hall. This kind of surprises me, though, because I've been reading back a little bit, and I remember Tony Khan making a statement that releases in AEW were not going to happen.
Right?
Yeah. So, like, mm-hmm. Why now?
That I don't have an answer for. I wish I did. Maybe in the coming weeks we will find out a little bit more and maybe get some answers to that. But what I can tell you is that with every company, there is always going to be budget cuts. And that's essentially what is going on here. They're talking about budget cuts. And that is why some of the talent has been released. Now, I don't know necessarily how much of an impact this is really going to make on the budget, considering the majority of the names that are in there, minus maybe Jose the Assistant and the Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we're not seen very much on TV. And we know that Dalton Castle with the Boys, primarily using the platform of Ring of Honor and a little bit of Collision. But I don't know how much of a how much gravity is going to come from this when it comes to releasing these names, because I doubt that they were getting paid astronomical numbers.
No, I would have to say, just looking at this list here, maybe the highest paid guy might have been Stu Grayson, because right. He was utilized quite a bit up until maybe the last year
with the Dark Order.
Yep.
One of the things that I read earlier today in relation to this was, if you take a look at their three most recent signings in Mercedes Moné, Will Ospreay, and the third one is eluding me at the moment. These 10
cuts,
yes, these 10 releases are not even going to amount to one of those contracts. But we also saw it before where the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny, now we know the Bunny is not under contract, but the Butcher and the Blade, their contracts expired, but they were still used on ROH, and now they're back, but I'm not sure if they're on an appearance deal or if they're back under contract.
Right.
So, really, like, what was the point in this? Parker Boudreaux, I've never really seen the potential in him other than his build.
Okay.
Jose the Assistant, I'm wondering if that has to do maybe with Andrade having jumped ship.
Maybe, but he was still doing some work in AEW. He was on the cruise, the Jericho cruise that happened. He was the hype man, right?
Like, right. I thought that's Alex Abrahantes.
It is. Yeah. But Jose kind of almost did the same thing, right? Like, he was okay. Just he wasn't a performer, like, right. He wasn't an in-ring performer, but he was just kind of that face, right?
Right.
That hype man, that show,
right?
As opposed to, you know, being actually inside of the ring.
Okay, so here's a thought here that I thought, if you didn't want to let go of Jose the Assistant, you could have paired him off with Tony Storm, and that probably could have worked right there. Have Tony have her own little male assistant, you know what I mean?
That's why she's got Luther.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she could be that type that's like, hey, I want two assistants, you know? Because she would come across as that kind of woman to me.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, very true. Very true. Bulkster's got a good take here as well, and he is very, very true with this. Where he says, so they still have went down from 500 wrestlers to 490. Yeah, it's definitely still a very bloated roster. And if this was actually something having to do with budget cuts, I think that there's a lot more that they could have done as well with different talent that maybe necessarily isn't fully being used.
Yes. And I do believe, I think that not so much budget cuts, but I'm wondering if this has to do with TV deals.
How so?
Well, because you've still got AEW trying to figure out where they're going to go. So they've got to find that money right now.
Okay.
So if you can't find the money for a TV deal, where's the easiest place to get it? Cut your tab.
Daddy's back pocket.
Yeah.
True enough.
Can you really see these 10 people that were released being able to secure a TV deal, like bringing in enough for them to be able to do what they need to do for a TV deal? I don't think so, Tim.
No, and I think you're still going to see the boys are going to be back fairly quickly, but they're going to be shifted over strictly to an ROH role again.
Okay. There need to be a huge repackage for them.
I mean, because we did see before Tony bought AEW, or before Tony bought Ring of Honor, that the boys had gone off on their own after Dalton Castle snapped.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Dalton can do it, but it's not to the same effect that he's always had as having them. So I do see that group still staying somewhat together in Ring of Honor. You're just probably not going to see them on AEW TV.
Well, Tony Khan will have to make that sign back real quick, because their releases make them free agents effective immediately. So that means TNA, New Japan, All Japan, WWE, they're going to gun for these guys.
Yep. And I think TNA is going to need a new tag team.
I think so too.
They could.
But at the same time, Triple H will have no trouble signing any one of these guys, putting them in NXT, and then building them up.
Right.
The way they should be built. Especially Stu Grayson, in my eyes.
Yeah. Stu Grayson is probably the biggest impact in terms of an actual name from the AEW roster.
Right. Right. When it comes to the boys, a lot of the... Okay, so how do I say this nicely? Ring of Honor in its ending days... before the purchase from Tony Khan, kind of started to dwindle a little bit. And it was a very niche fan base that there was. Now, there is another promotion that has a very niche fan base that I think would take to the boys as the boys and be welcomed with open arms. And this company could use another really good tag team, such as the boys. And that's the NWA.
Okay.
Now, I think the NWA definitely is trying to do what they can to rebuild. They're never going to get to their past former glory. I don't believe that at all. I don't think that they will ever get to a former glory that they once had before. But they are starting to delve into territories once again and creating NWA territories. So now you've got this group like the boys who has worked Ring of Honor, who has done AEW, who has been in a number of different companies that have been on television. And what a better way to use them than to have them as that traveling team that can go from territory to territory within the NWA.
Right.
That would be perfect for any one of these releases, because we talk about, like, when a release happens, you want to go out and get your seasoning and then maybe try to make a comeback to that company. I think the NWA and the territory system would be beneficial for all 10 of these releases.
And it would allow them to be able to be seen by a number of different people who maybe have not seen them before, who are very centric to the NWA or independent professional wrestling, and allow a little bit more shine to come onto the NWA, because there is nowhere right now that I'm aware of that has traveling stars going from place to place on an NWA type of level. Yes, you get those ones that definitely do it in the independent scene,
yeah,
where they'll go from show to show to show, but there's no big deals that are there when it comes to the independents. I think that that's a great way for the NWA to maybe put a refocus on them.
I'm going to be a little bit impartial here, but Danny Duggan, why don't you sign one of these boys?
Right? Right?
Yep.
I do want to get to a comment here. The Bulkster is saying, would love to know your thoughts on the CM Punk interview he recently did and his side of the story. I loved it. And he feel he's speaking facts. I cannot speak anything to that as of yet, because I have not seen that interview. Between trying to do a whole bunch of other things and my shoot job and life, I just have not been able to see it. Either one of you,
I
see it?
I have not yet been able to check it out. I did add it to my watch list before we went live here, though. So it's on my YouTube watch list.
I haven't seen the interview, but I've seen the transcription of it.
Okay.
And I think it was more so CM Punk being CM Punk. The same CM Punk that left WWE 10 years ago just went off. It was just a much calmer pipe bomb, so to speak.
Okay.
So when you say CM Punk,
not Phil Brooks?
Yeah. Basically he told Tony Khan, if you're going to do it, release me, because this place sucks, because Tony's trying to be a nice guy and cater to everybody instead of being a boss.
Interesting.
He's not too far off on the truth on that.
I will definitely give it a watch. I think maybe at some point, maybe the three of us will give it a watch, and then we'll do just a little special episode or something. Mm-hmm, right. We'll just come together and talk about it, and then release that to the world on our YouTube channel at Turnbuckle_Studios. So what do you guys think? Have we beaten a dead horse when it comes to these AEW releases?
I believe we have.
Yeah, like I said, the only thing that's shocking to me, it's not shocking that these guys got released, because let's face it, they were essentially dead weight to the AEW roster after a while. Mm-hmm. It just shocks me that Tony Khan had come out and said he's not going to release anybody. And then he does this, you know?
Right. Right. And again, unfortunately, I think what it comes down to is that every company at some point is going to be doing such. They will be releasing people no matter what. It's going to happen. It will always happen.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much more.
To Tony's credit, you know, he held out as long as he could on his word. We also have to wonder is how many of these guys went and said, look, we're not being used. Can you release us?
Right. That could be as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that, but we got some bigger fish to fry here. We've got a big event. What
mackerel? Trout?
A little bit of both. Whatever I can fish out of St. Mary's River. But we've got a really big event coming this weekend for two nights. We got WrestleMania on the way, guys. And I know everybody's been wondering what our thoughts are on the WrestleMania card. So what do you say we give our little breakdown on what we think is going to happen at WrestleMania? I've got all the matches here divided between night one and night two. Let's start off with night one here. And going in the order that I'm seeing the matches here, the first match I want to cover is Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch for the Women's World Heavyweight Championship. Last night, we finally got some heat to this feud. Who do you guys see taking this this match?
Rhea Ripley, only because it is just a singles matchup. It's not a stipulation matchup. It is not a false count anywhere or a cage match or hardcore or anything like that. I think given the amount of time that Rhea has held that championship and the domination that she has shown and had, that in just a simple singles matchup between the two of them, Rhea Ripley will rip the head off of Becky Lynch and continue to be our women's champion.
All right, OMD.
I have Rhea retaining, but Becky winning via DQ.
Interesting.
Okay, interesting. How do you see this DQ unfolding, though?
With this match getting to the level of personal that it's gotten to in the last couple of weeks, Rhea's going to goad Becky into taking the swing. Becky will miss, but Rhea will get caught red-handed when she clocks Becky with the chair, the kendo stick, whatever it may be. So Rhea will lose the match, which sets up the rematch at Backlash, which will also set up one of the aforementioned types of matches that Carl just listed off.
Okay.
So I guess I'm taking a little bit of from the both of you here, because I too see Rhea taking this one, but I do see more emotion and more heat being added to this feud. Rhea takes it clean in this one, thus leading to Becky and Rhea in a step match. I don't know what kind of step match you would do at Backlash. I do see Rhea. I don't want to see Rhea doing the dominant beat you in 60 seconds thing. I want this match to go at least 10, 15 minutes, I figure.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a hell of a match. I'm just going to put it out there right now. But yeah, that's my pick. I got Rhea taking this one over Becky. I kind of want to see Rhea continue this dominant reign she's had with the women's title. And I know, OMD, you said that she hasn't defended the title as much. I kind of want to see her to defend it a little bit more afterwards. I'm not done with her being the champion is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I get that, because for me, Becky has now reached that same level as, I don't even want to say level, but the same air as Charlotte in, I'm going to come back and insert myself right into the title picture. Becky will sort of do that, but then say, well, okay, I'm going to work my way up, so I'll take on all comers. But she's just sitting there putting herself, saying, no, the line starts with me.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Another scenario I thought of is Rhea wins and maybe she goes back to her feud with Nia over the title, because I don't think there was anything finished between those two either.
Not really, no. Nope.
All right, so let's move on to a match that I'm tremendously excited to see here. For the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. This match, we talked about emotional heat in the last match. This match just has so much more emotional heat going into it. OMD, I'm going to start off with you. Who do you see taking this one?
I have Gunther retaining. All right. Sami is doing everything to get back to the underdog from the underground. I think just from a booking perspective, now he is so close to that 2-year mark. I think you've got to get Gunther over. Keep in mind, you've also got now Clash at the Castle coming up in Scotland in June and Bash in Berlin.
That hasn't been released yet.
It was released this morning.
Oh, it was this morning?
It was.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got, I can see Gunther carrying the Intercontinental belt to either one of those pay-per-views or PLEs. And I think you do see a champion versus champion match there. So I've got Gunther retaining. Sammy's doing everything to get back to being the underdog from the underground. And it's going to be a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
All right. And Carl, I'm going to let you have the floor on this one here too.
It is definitely going to be Gunther. I fully 100% deep down in my soul believe that it is going to be Gunther. They've done so much with him so far with this championship reign that he has and the longevity of that reign, the history making annotations that have come from it. I believe that Gunther is going to retain. They're going to keep that going for a while. And kind of as OMD was talking about there, you know, Sami Zayn with the whole comeback story, blah, blah, blah. We've seen it before. We will see it again from Sami, I'm sure. But it just doesn't necessarily always seem to work out in the favor of Sami Zayn immediately.
I like your use of immediately.
Yes,
because I did paint up a scenario in my head as you guys were talking, because my pick is Sami Zayn. I'm going completely opposite from what you guys are doing for once. I think this is the story of Rocky, essentially. But then I thought to myself, Rocky, wait a minute. Oh, Rocky Balboa, actually.
Oh,
see, because this does take place in Philadelphia, as do the Rocky movies. But then I thought to myself, well, wait a second. Rocky lost in the first Rocky movie.
Yes, he did.
As much as I still want to see, I think Sami still takes it. Now I might be second guessing myself here. Sami takes it. It's going to be a great WrestleMania moment. We're going to see him, you know, celebrating with the title in the ring, confetti flying everywhere, fireworks, all that kind of jazz. But I think. On the Monday after, because this is taking place on night one of WrestleMania.
Yes,
I think Saturday. The Monday after. I gotta say, I think Chad Gable is the one that becomes the first number one contender for Sami's Intercontinental title if Sami does take it. However, if Gunther does win it, then we do have the Rocky story. We have him losing and. In Rocky 1, Rocky 2, he comes back for the rematch and wins the title then.
Right.
We have Gunther then suddenly just become this cocky son of a bitch.
Our apologies as
kind of
Chris Best is kind of
is.
Glitching out terribly, unfortunately. So, yeah.
Yeah, I froze up in time there. No, as I was saying, I think Sami does take the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania because I do think he gets that moment in the sun again.
Okay.
So, Bolster, I just want to go over that because he's... Well, let's get Bulkster in here because he is part of the chat, and we want to make sure that even those that are listening to us know that if you do come and watch us as we are going live, we will include your chats and your comments as well, where he says that he thinks that Rhea is going to win clean in the second match. Gunther is going to win, but Gunther is going to squash Sami Zayn, get on the mic, issue an open challenge, and then Brock Lesnar comes out. That is the Bulkster's prediction.
Already, I don't like that because I don't like when Brock Lesnar comes in and just shoves aside the smaller guy in Sami Zayn and takes his spot. He did that to Big E. He did that to Kofi Kingston. I'm sick and tired of that, you know?
I think the better person for that's a great scenario, but I think there's a better person to put in that, and that is Bron Breakker.
I wouldn't be too opposed to that, but at the same time, it's pushing aside the other guy, making him a third wheel, you know?
How much money are you getting a month, OMD, from Bron?
You know, about nothing.
Interesting. That's a name that you bring up all the time. You're like, situation, Bron Breakker. This situation, Bron Breakker. This situation, Bron Breakker.
I'll fully admit to being a Bron Breakker mark.
Flippable moment right there, by the way.
He's a stand for Bron Breakker. Yeah, Bulkster. I mean, we like WrestleMania surprises as well, and I think we're all going to be surprised at this WrestleMania in one way or another. And I don't know how it's going to be, if it's going to be somebody that we thought was going to win for sure but doesn't, or it could be, who knows, maybe something happens in a six-pack tag team ladder match challenge.
Which is the next match we're going to discuss, by the way. Because this next match is the six-pack tag team ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team Championship, featuring Judgment Day's Finn Balor, Damian Priest, DIY, The Awesome Truth, New Day, A-Town Down Under, and New Catch Republic. Now, there's been rumors that one of these teams is possibly going to be taken out of the match in favor for a certain Machine Gun tag team.
Okay.
From the Motor City, as it were.
Yes.
Who do you guys got taking this one? Because there is a plethora of guys who could really leave their claim for being tag team champions here.
I am going to stick with my thought in that they are splitting the belts. And I'm going to give you some kudos here, Mr. Best. And I do think DIY is going to take a set, but I think they're going to SmackDown. I think and I do think you're going to see Awesome Truth win the Raw. So you will have Regeneration X win the Undisputed Tag Team titles, and then they're going to separate brands.
Interesting.
I'm not sure if I like the split, but I feel like it spreads the tag teams a bit thin, but at the same time, as I'm reading here, it says making it possible for the titles to be split into two different between two teams, which is, now that's actually very interesting to me, but I see DIY doing it as well, but I just don't see any of the other teams like being, I mean, they're up there for contenders for the tag belts, but I just, maybe Judgment Day manages to retain one of the tag belts. Or they pull a Kurt Angle and they lose both belts like he did to Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 16.
Yep. I'm going to be honest. There's another team in there. Team I would love to see get the belts, but we don't know if they're going to even be involved in the match in A-Town Down Under.
You know what? I actually kind of like that pick too, because of the fact that here we got two cocky guys who just think they're God's gift to women, who think they're God's gift to wrestling, and they possibly could walk around with the tag belts and tout that. Now, Carl, I haven't gotten your thoughts on this match yet. What do you think about it?
They are definitely going to be splitting, but they're going to be splitting between DIY, keeping them on Raw, and New Catch Republic, taking them to SmackDown.
I like that choice too. I really do. But yeah. The one team that I definitely don't see it happening, because they're just, to me, they're a throw together tag team, and that's the Awesome Truth. I like R-Truth. Yeah. I do enjoy The Miz, but it just feels like they're a throw together tag team right now.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. 100% they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is, I totally expect, just looking at these guys again, I'm totally expecting one hell of a match. This is probably going to be the match of night one, in my personal opinion. It could very well be, because, I mean, Sami Zayn and Gunther, we just talked about prior, it's going to be hard to beat that match.
Yeah,
right.
All right, so let's go on. Match four on night one. For the third time in WWE WrestleMania history, we're going to have brother versus brother, Jimmy versus Jay. Carl, who do you got taking this one?
It's got to be Jay. Just with the hype, with everything that's going on with Jay right now, it's got to happen.
Yeah. OMD, how about you?
Jay, hands down. It's going to be a hell of a match. It's going to be fantastic. I think at the end of it, you're going to get sportsmanship. I think you're going to see them look at each other, hug, shake hands. We got to live our dream. You see the Usos reunite, setting the stage for night two.
I don't think we see that. I think we see Jay beating Jimmy. Jimmy then becomes that seething, jealous brother because Jay has just beaten him. And now Jay's going to be moving on to bigger, better things. But Jimmy's still going to be lurking in the shadows for another potential rematch, say at SummerSlam. What I want to see out of this match, though, is when Jay comes to the ring, I want to see all 70,000 people doing the yeet taunt. That's going to look so cool on TV.
Yeah. Right?
But this is, I really don't know what to make of this match, too, because there wasn't too much heat around it. But at the same time, there wasn't a lot of heat between Brett and Owen until the Royal Rumble of 94 and everything happened there. The heat really kicked up for them two by SummerSlam of 94. So, but yeah, I'm totally excited about this. And I know I'm going to be drawing comparisons to Brett versus Owen. Cause let's face it, the second brother versus brother match, Matt and Jeff, was not that great.
No.
But no, I'm expecting it to be a decent little match. But speaking of interesting and decent little matches, we've got a debut, a in-ring WrestleMania debut happening next, as we've got six women tag team action. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Naomi, Damage Control, taking on Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. This is going to be an intriguing little match because we've only seen Jade Cargill in the Royal Rumble. So we know that she can pick up and throw people around, but now we get to see her actually wrestle a full match here. What do you guys got? What do you guys got in this one?
I've got to go with Team Jade. This is her WrestleMania debut. This is her moment. I think she's going to go in there. I think they're going to set it up so that she shows up, Bianca and Naomi, and sort of throws her ego around, as opposed to saying, okay, look, yes, we're doing this as a team, but no, I'm the star. I am that chick. This is my show.
I kind of get that vibe off Naomi as it is, or Jade as it is. So, Carl, how about you, my friend?
Damage control. I think damage control is winning this one. I don't see why they wouldn't, with how powerful that they are on the roster right now. We've got a cohesive team who has been together for a while, taking on three people who don't know how to work together, who haven't worked together, and can become very confused and clumsy while trying to work together. And I think that that's going to be the downfall, and damage control is going to take the match up.
Okay. I kind of like that reasoning too, because now if damage control does win this match, Io suddenly goes into her match with Bayley on night two, I believe. Yeah, night two. With a little bit of a swagger with her, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I kind of like that too, because I've been having a tough time picking this one. If damage control does take the win, which I'm kind of now leaning towards that, you still got to make Jade Cargill look like a star. Yeah. She doesn't necessarily need to take the pin on this one, because Naomi and Bianca, they can take the pin, no problem.
Right.
This also ends Bianca's win streak at WrestleMania 2, if that does happen.
Yes, it would.
So I think I'm gonna go with you, Carl. I'm kind of curious. I want to see if Damage Control wins it, so I'm gonna pick them. But now we've got a match that I particularly don't really care for, because it just feels like it's shoehorned in for me. But we got the LWO, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, taking on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom. And I understand why this is shoehorned in, because of the fact that Dom is a huge heel, and we kind of need, WrestleMania does need those huge stars right now on the roster. But who do you guys got taking this one? Carl, I'll start with you.
Don't care. So let's say Santos and Dom. That's what I have written down here. So I'll just keep it. That's what I've got.
Yeah. I'm going Santos and Dom, but yeah, this match was thrown together. I think they should have done something a little more with Dom to build him up. I think you could have seen a Dom versus Andrade match. They could have built that story on Raw.
Okay.
You could have had Andrade team with Rey against Dom and Santos. And then you've got, of course, Andrade and Santos being the two businessmen that, okay, we're just in this for the money. And it essentially comes down to Rey and Dom again. Now, I'm glad they did not go with hair versus mask between Dom and Rey for WrestleMania.
Right.
But yeah, like Carl says, I don't care. I'm going to go with Dom and Santos. It is going to be a sleeper match hit, though, with the way those guys move.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this match, and I'm like, they could, and I agree with you, OMD, they could have done Andrade and Dom, because you could have done this whole thing where, because we can't, every week we see Andrade talking to Mommy. Why couldn't we have Dom suddenly build a jealous streak around that, thus leading to a match between the two of them at WrestleMania? And you could have done Rey and Santos, not at SmackDown, but on Mania as well.
Exactly.
The but only issue with the Andrade thing, though, is how long has he been back?
Since January.
How long has he been back in the eye of people on television? Since January?
Yeah.
Well, no, because he's had the vignettes. He's only had two matches.
Mm-hmm.
But he's right. All of these interactions with Dom and with Judgment Day.
But they've been very small, to the point that people forget about them. Do we really think that there would have been enough time to build to a Dominic versus Andrade type of matchup? Because that means that when he returned or he came back in January, they would have had to have hit that off right away with, you know, him kind of all over Rhea Ripley and then this jealous streak of Dom kind of showing his face in there. I just, for that, it's a cool idea. And I think, yeah, like 100% that could work, but just not in this short amount of time.
Right. And see, I haven't seen the whole Andrade, Rhea and the Dom jealousy, because it was Dom that approached Andrade first, and Dom brought that idea to Judgment Day. So you could have had
that hasn't happened. Chris is saying that would be a good thing to have happen.
Okay, but yeah, like I don't like the jealousy angle. I think the business angle type of thing, the Lucha Libre history, would have made it a little more special than a jealousy angle.
Okay. And I'm not knocking your idea, Chris, because I think it's a fantastic idea. I just don't think that we had enough time to build that.
Right, because as I said it, I thought of how long they actually built Hogan and Macho Man, and Macho Man becoming jealous. That was year that they did that for a year. So,
yeah. And we know that in this new era,
but yeah, I mean,
they're really stretching things out. So,
yeah. I don't know if you can hear it, but that whistling, that's the wind on my outside. I think I'm going to go Santos and Dom too, just because Santos right now is pretty hot as a heel. Right. And I kind of want to keep that heat on him and get that win over Ray. Dragon Lee is going to be made to look like a star in this match. I guarantee that, because this is going to be a star builder for him. Because Ray, mm-hmm. Santos, and Dom are already stars.
Yep.
Yeah. But let's move on. Let's move to the main event, the match that I know OMD doesn't give two shits about. That being the Bloodline, The Rock, and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. OMD, I'm going to start off with you. Who do you got taking this one? I'm pretty sure it's obvious.
I'm actually going to go and say that the main event of night two is contested under Bloodline rules.
You heard that here first, folks. OMD is actually going to cheer The Rock at WrestleMania.
I don't want to. I think it's the only way to finish the story is under the Bloodline rules.
And for those that may not understand what he is talking about, so if Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins win this matchup, all members of the Bloodline are going to be barred from ringside during night two's undisputed matchup. But if The Rock and Roman Reigns win, then the championship match is going to be held under Bloodline rules, which is essentially anything goes.
I don't want that walking publicity stunt anywhere near a WWE ring, but I got to deal with it for one more year. I can live up for one night.
You might have to deal with it for one more year, given the rumors for next year's WrestleMania and the fact that he's going to be around for several more matches after this.
Yes, but I do think that we are going to see something else happen, and it is a tie into a match earlier in the night, that being our ladder match. And I do think we see a briefcase getting cashed in.
I'm going to hold off on my thoughts on that one, because I do have that one for the next match, actually, that we're going to discuss. Carl, who do you got taking this one?
Cody and Seth. I think that we are going to, it's going to come down, the Bloodline rules match. Okay, I get it. But that means that, anybody and everybody can be out there. And how many people are really going to be out there for Cody Rhodes? But there is an entire family behind Roman Reigns. So we're going to give it to first Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins so that everyone is barred from ringside. But wait, it's all members of the Bloodline are barred from ringside, which still opens up for someone to help Cody finish the story.
I like that. I really do. And I agree with you, Carl. I'm going with Cody and Seth because I'm looking at what's happened over the last couple of weeks between The Rock, Roman, Seth, and Cody. Seth and Cody have been on the wrong side of the beating over the last couple of weeks. So this is where Cody and Seth finally get their revenge. They finally get the win. The match now becomes the match between Cody and Roman the next night becomes more even on the playing field. That's what I was trying to look for there. So okay. Yeah, I got Cody and Seth taking this one. I think it's time that we take a snooze and we move on to night two.
All right.
Nappy time.
So night two. It's not tiffy time, it's nappy time.
That's right. That's right. It's always gonna feel like.
All right. All right. So this next match is for the World Heavyweight Championship. And this is the match I think is gonna open up night two, by the way. Seth Rollins defending against Drew McIntyre. Carl, who do you got taking this one?
So Seth needs some time. I see Drew McIntyre winning this matchup. But surprise, surprise, Damian Priest will walk out as champion.
You SOB, because that's what I was going to say for my Money in the Bank cash in. You've got Drew McIntyre takes the win. Seth is completely beaten up from the night before, obviously. Drew takes the title. He finally gets his moment in the sun, winning the title in front of the crowd. Suddenly, Damian Priest's theme hits. And he steals that moment from Drew.
Yep.
That's what I see happening. OMD, how about you?
See, I have Drew winning the match, but I have it, obviously, with my cash in the night before during the tag match, I have it as a triple threat match with Drew winning.
Okay.
Okay. So elaborate on how the ending, the cash in from the night before leads to this triple threat match. Like, how does Damian get in there and do his thing?
Well, because Drew's still the number one contender to that title.
Right.
Seth will have just lost the title. He's going to get his obligatory rematch. So you're going to get the triple threat.
Right. But how does Damian make his presence felt in that tag team match the night before?
Damian can cash in after the match.
He would still have Cody out there to deal with, though.
Depends on how badly beaten down they are. So
I'm kind of challenging you on this.
No,
one.
I like it. But no, I've got them. I've got it going to be a triple threat match. Drew is going to win. Leading up to June going to his home country, as I'm seeing the ad for Clash at the Castle right now on my TV screen. So Drew will go to Clash at the Castle in Scotland as your World Heavyweight Champion.
Carl, you've got a quizzical look on your face right now.
I'm just, maybe I'm not fully understanding. Damian Priest has the Money in the Bank briefcase. That gets cashed in at that time. So if he's going to cash that in on night one, is that what you're saying, OMD? He's cashing it in night one.
Yes.
After the Bloodline versus Cody and Seth.
Yes.
So his match is done because he's taking on Seth right then and there. How do we make our way to a triple threat matchup between Seth, Drew, and now Damian Priest
the next night? Because Drew is still the number one contender for that belt. Seth is going to want his rematch. So you're going to get the triple threat.
Oh, so you're saying Damian Priest is going to win the championship on night one?
Yes.
Okay. But card is subject to change, so I guess that could work. But would that not just nullify and void the matchup between Seth and Drew?
Mm-hmm.
It could, but do we really see WWE going that route? No.
No. No, I mean, definitely not, right? But I don't know. I was confused trying to figure out how the hell you were going through this, because if they're going to do Seth versus Drew on the next night and you're having Damian cash in, well, then Damian's going to have to lose for it to still be Seth versus Drew. Or screw it all, and like Bulkster says, just have him cash in on the IC championship.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Damian to take that next step up from the IC title scene and the US title scene. So that's why I think he cashes in on night two.
Okay.
Speaking of cash-ins, our next match features a woman who cashed in her Money in the Bank contract to win the WWE title, taking on a woman who won her way to WrestleMania in Bayley. Io Sky versus Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship. This match, I'm excited to see it. I'm really intrigued to see Io Sky on that big stage, taking on someone who's already been there. But what do you guys got taking this one? I'll start with you, Carl.
To continue on the story, Io Sky. I don't see Bayley taking that women's championship off of Io Sky just yet. They are continuing to do good things with everyone in that group. So why are we going to, disassemble or cause any type of friction to be there, right? So it's a new damage control that just recently became new. So why are we going to mess around with any of that, right?
Yep. Very good point.
Very good point. Excellent point. OMD, how about you?
I've got Bayley. Bayley has long put everybody else over herself, over her career. She has been that veteran, even from being a rookie, to give the spotlight to others. And it's time for her to have her true WrestleMania moment and win that title.
All right.
I keep going back and forth on this one myself, because I now see I do like Carl's point. Bayley has yet to have her WrestleMania moment. At the same time, Io Sky's got that. She's got that X factor in damage control hanging around ringside. So I kind of see Io Sky winning the title using nefarious tactics. Be it somebody from damage control coming out to help her out. At the same time, though, I would have to think that Bianca, Jade, and Naomi come out to help Bayley in some way or another.
You would hope so.
But I'm going to... Yeah. But I'm looking at this, I got to go Io. I got to go with Io, because she's just that sneaky of a woman, you know?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bayley. I love you, but I don't think this is your Mania moment this year. Let's move on to LA Knight taking on AJ Styles. The only match that doesn't seem to have anything on the line or any kind of stipulation on this night. OMD, who do you got? Who do you think takes this one? And
I really don't know, because it's two talents that the WWE have really dropped the ball on in the last 6 months.
Explain how.
They really haven't, after the run up to the Royal Rumble for LA Knight, what's he done? I mean, after his match in Saudi Arabia, it hasn't gone anywhere. Same with AJ Styles, where all this started back at the Royal Rumble. Okay, you stepped over my dead body. But what's the point? Like, okay, now you've traveled to Australia to cost him the title. Well, that's kind of pointless, because if you're not there, I think personally, this is just a match of bitterness. And I think this is just a match on the card for the sake of putting a match on the card, much like the Dom and Santos versus Rey and Dragon Lee. But I'm going to give it to AJ Styles.
I think I would definitely say AJ Styles as well. This could be the matchup that actually surprises me, though. There has been some push for LA Knight in the past, but that has seemed to have dwindled. So, with that, AJ Styles winning the matchup. But we could get an LA Knight win, which will reignite and reinvigorate that fire for LA Knight.
Yeah, you're right on that one, Carl, because there is such a thing as lowering the heat on somebody's push, kind of putting it off to the back burner, which is kind of exactly what they have done with LA Knight. I do still see this being a star maker match for LA Knight, because AJ Styles is the guy that can do it. We've seen him do it time and time before. I don't want to see AJ Styles pull off the win here, though, because I feel like it's been forever since I've seen him win a match.
Right.
Yep.
Feels that way for sure.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of stars in the ring, we've got our next title match, which is a triple threat match for the United States Championship. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens challenging Logan Paul. And I'm going to take the reins on this one here first, because I think this is where Kevin Owens finally gets his revenge on Logan Paul, and we see Logan Paul drop the United States title. As much as I want to see Randy Orton take the win, I kind of don't need him in a championship with a championship at the moment. So tell me, guys, OMD, starting with you, what do you guys think of that?
I'm with you. I'd love to see Randy win the title, but he doesn't need it. But I think Logan Paul will have KSI. He's going to have his big prime logo right in the center of the ring, and Logan Paul is going to retain, having his first real WrestleMania moment.
I mean, he had his WrestleMania moment last year, but that's neither here nor there.
No, he had a moment. I think this one is going to be his real moment.
All right, Carl, who do you got taking this one?
So, break it down for you. Logan Paul has said that he wants to, he's quit boxing. He's quit that. He's quit the MMA. He is a professional wrestler now. Now, Logan Paul may be okay in the ring, but he's not necessarily one of the best. But can he get there? Yes, he sure can.
Certainly.
Now, who would be a good guy for him to hone that craft against in a feud? That would be Kevin Owens. So we are going to get in the future, from my perspective, Logan Paul and Kevin Owens in a feud together. But it is not going to be for the United States Championship, because that is going to be going to Randy Orton. Randy Orton is one of those guys who is slowly starting to get up there in age and will be nearing a retirement at some point, probably within the next 5 to 7 years, I figure.
Yeah.
So let's give that build for Randy Orton back up to the echelon of world champion before his retirement. And this is the start of that, by having him capture the United States Championship, going through different feuds, building up towards the big one, winning that before retiring.
I like your view on that one, because this would be, you're kind of thinking this could be Randy's last hurrah, as it were, you know?
Well, the last 5-7 years, possibly, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we got another match that I'm very intrigued about, because I'm actually glad that this guy's actually getting on a WrestleMania card. But we've got a 6-man Philadelphia street fight: Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford, the Pride, taking on the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akam, and Razor, with Scarlett and Paul Ellering at ringside. I'm excited to see Karrion Kross on a big stage. I like Karrion.
I'm not sure what happened, everybody, but Chris Best's mic has muted. He's just having a little bit of technical difficulties. So,
yeah, I don't know what the hell happened there. But no, I was just saying that I'm excited to see Karrion Kross on the big stage. I'm a huge fan of Karrion Kross. I'm starting to slowly enjoy what they're doing with him on SmackDown. And I'm intrigued to see this street fight here and how it plays out. I got to go with Final Testament taking this win, though, because it's a new stable coming up, and you kind of need to, if you're going to build a new stable, you got to turn up the heat a little bit on them, right? So who do you guys got taking this one? OMD, starting with you.
Well, both of them are still fairly new stables, and the Pride have more or less been enhancements as far as this stable wars go. I'm with you on the Final Testament winning. I think that it's time to give Karrion Kross not just his moment in the sun, but a proper run on the main roster and a proper push. Lashley's already been there. The Prophets have already been there. They can get back there anytime they so choose. For the AOP, who have just returned, and Karrion Kross, who has sort of been plateaued for the better part of the last 2 years since his feud with Drew, they need this.
So, yeah, that's why I went. That's why
I've got Final Testament. I've got Final Testament because you've got the mad scientist and Paul Ellering there to call the shots.
And see, that's kind of the reason why I went that way too, because like Karrion Kross, a lot of stops start pushing with him, and I'm very happy that he's getting the spot, this moment in the limelight on a PLE. Hello, Parrish. Carl, who you got taking this up? Excuse me, the 6-man Philadelphia street fight.
So as great as everything that you guys spoke about is, I don't believe that you guys are correct. I think it is going to be the Pride, Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. Now, the reasoning behind this is because, yes, the Pride has been on television. The Pride are the bigger names in this matchup of Bobby Lashley, having been there for many, many years. The Street Profits, or you know, whatever we're calling them now, Dawkins and Ford, okay, they are just a little bit bigger names than Authors of Pain right now. And you guys talk about wanting Karrion Kross to have that that kind of push and that main roster, you know, testament to him. What better way to showcase what can be done with Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar than to have them in this matchup, lose this matchup, and be able to continue on having a feud, whether it is now Kross and Lashley in singles competition to build Kross from there and Dawkins and Ford taking on AOP separately, or having it continue as a faction war. Either way, I think it's going to be great for the final testament, but I do not see them winning the matchup.
Okay, so you're saying there's going to be, they're going to have a great outing, but not taking the win.
Yes.
Parrish is coming in and saying, I'm lagging here. Okay. He's saying, I think Lashley and the Profits will win based on how Lashley has been getting the short end of the stick, as I see AOP, one of them, taking the pin. I tend to agree with that as well. If the final testament is the team to lose this match, then it's got to be one of AOP taking that fall, because I think they can afford to take the pin. Karrion Kross still needs to look strong coming out of this match.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And with that, we move to the main event of both nights. The match that we've all been very heavily emotionally invested in. Cody Rhodes. Is he going to finally finish his story against Roman Reigns? Let's start with you, Carl.
No. No, he is not. I think that you have all of these people who continuously believe that, yes, that this is going to happen. Finally, at this WrestleMania, it's going to happen. I don't believe that. They are still pretty high on Roman Reigns. He is a draw. He is a name. He is somebody that the people want to see. And he is a part-timer. Now we're going to take the world championship, whoever wins in that matchup, and we're going to put a bigger focus on that so that we can continue to have Roman Reigns as the universal champion. And then at some point, it's going to be Cody Rhodes for the world heavyweight championship. And that's where the story is going to end.
So then he goes after Damian Priest if Priest cashes in.
If he does.
Yeah. OMD, how about you, brother?
I say we are beginning a new chapter. The story's not over. It's just a new chapter being written. And yes, Cody wins under bloodline rules. Under anything goes, I think you're going to see Seth come back, if Seth is able to, after everything from the previous night and earlier in night two. I think you'll see Jey Uso. I think you might get a couple of surprises under bloodline rules for that one to back up Cody.
Possibly.
Not quite where I was going. I was thinking another member of the a relation of the bloodline makes his WWE debut to help out Cody.
Okay. So for those that don't follow professional wrestling and are listening to this, please let them know who you were speaking of.
I am speaking of one Tama Tonga.
Okay.
No Bulkster Hulk Hogan is not coming. I do think that we are going to see, yes, even potentially Stone Cold show up.
Well, Hogan's already in Philly for Mania this weekend, so.
Yes, he is, but he's just doing autographs and stuff. That's been his role. That has been confirmed.
Right.
We could see Austin. We could see Cena. Do we need them? No.
Okay.
But I've got Cody starting to write the next chapter, not finishing the story.
All right.
Okay, so I like how OMD's like, the story's not finished, but Cody's winning, which thus kind of finishes the story in any ways. But I'm going to use a great baseball terminology here, where last year Paul Heyman said we're only in the bottom of the third inning. I believe we're in the bottom of the ninth, and Cody Rhodes is up at bat, and he's going to hit that walk-off home run and finish the story and win the championship. And I think that because you guys talked about not being done with the bloodline, I very much could see, because if this match between Jimmy and Jay turns out to be a star vehicle for Jimmy, I could see Jimmy stepping up and possibly challenging Roman for the championship, or not Roman, Cody for the championship, or Tama Tonga showing up the following night to lay his claim for the championship. I do think that this is Cody's moment. And I'm not saying that because of like what the fans are saying. I'm saying this based off what I've heard is going to happen. Roman is looking to take even more time than usual off after this match. So it might be time, based on what we discussed last week, to actually take the belt off Roman.
Yeah. And I think it goes without saying that, you know, as we've seen the beatdowns on Cody last week, last night with him and Seth getting it, the beating they're going to take night one, that's where it comes full circle.
Okay. That's what's good about a round table, is that we've got a lot of different views and opinions on it and can offer that to everyone else. For those of you that are listening to us or watching us back in the replay on YouTube, leave your comments as well, letting us know your thoughts on WrestleMania, on the card, and even give some predictions if you would like as well. You can leave those if you're listening to us on a podcast. You can always leave it with us at TB Talk Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and X. It is all available there at TB Talk Pod. And if you're watching this back on YouTube, you can leave a comment down below underneath the video and we will receive it.
I believe you can also leave comments on Good Pods as well. So if you're listening through there, leave a comment with your thoughts on what's going to happen at WrestleMania there as well.
Yes. Yes, you can.
But we've covered 13 matches, guys. This is going to be one hell of a weekend. The entire card, all 13 matches, do look good. There's a few minor bumps there, but I'm willing to forgive those bumps for what's likely going to turn out to be a fantastic weekend of wrestling for us. So what do you guys say on that note? We hand out those old socials.
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go with let's start off with you, OMD.
Well, the people can find me on the Book of Faces, Daniel Hrycyk, Hrycyk, on Snapchat, One Man Dynamic, capitals on OMD, on Twitch, OMD17, and on Discord at OMD6370. Visually, you can catch me right here every Monday night with Chris Best, Carl Carafell, Bubba Duke, and Chris Parrish on the Raw Patrol. Every Tuesday with Carl Carafell and Chris Best right here on Turnbuckle Talk. Every Thursday on the Boar's Nest with Bubba Duke. And this coming Thursday, we are doing a WrestleMania simulation and prediction show. Night one is going Thursday. Friday night, we're flipping over to our friends at the Window Lickers to cover night two with our predictions.
All right. And Mr. Carafel, how about you, my friend?
Pretty simple and easy. Find me on Linktree, linktr.ee/Carl Carafel. That is linktr.ee/KarlKarufel. And if my calculations are correct on this as well, I do believe that there is even a link there to our merchandise as well with Redbubble. If it isn't there for whatever reason, you can always go to carlcarafel.redbubble.com. There is a lot of different merchandise that is over there for you to take a look through. And just take a look and see what there is in the Turnbuckle Studios store. And remember, when you do make a purchase over there, we do get a little bit of a kickback, which is absolutely fantastic and does allow us to keep these programs coming to you.
Mm-hmm. All right, and you guys can find me, youtube.com at CBRS Entertainment, twitch.tv, CBRS_entertainment, threads.net, CBestFilms83, facebook.com, Chris.Best83, TikTok.com, CBRS.Entertainment. You can look for me, you can look for my latest video that's going up on CBRS Entertainment this Friday night, 8 p.m., where I'm going to be uploading the very first episode of WWE 2K24, My Rise, the Chris Damage story. First episode, Making a Champion. You can look for me Saturday night on right here on Turnbuckle Studios as I'm going to be hosting the PLE Patrol alongside, I know OMD is going to be there. Carl, you're still unconfirmed about being there, but we're going to have a plethora of guests coming in to join in the show here. And we're hopefully going to see you here. That's going to be both Saturday and Sunday night. Monday nights, you can look for me as I do the Raw Patrol alongside OMD, alongside Carl Carafel, Bubba Duke, and Chris Parrish. This Monday night is going to be one hell of a show. I can guarantee you that. Next Tuesday, you can look for me, Carl, and OMD as we do the Turnbuckle Talk, where I'm pretty sure we're going to be discussing the fallout to the Raw after Mania.
Yeah.
Right here on Turnbuckle Talk. And on that note, Carl, what is that line you always say when we close out?
Well, when we close out, we just want to make sure that everybody remembers that the world is a scary place to take care of each other.
I can't find our... Oh, there it is. All right.